A night of dreams, omens, intuition with our special guests, Michael and Nicole Sebastian, the Dream Dudes. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk about omens. Don't go away. Michael and Nicole, we live in a very superstitious society. Does that have anything to do with some of the omens that befall us?
Well, yes, yes, it does. Yes and no. Omens are things that, in many ways, we create them. I think it was Carl Jung spent half of his life working on synchronicities and omens, signs. And what he was trying to get at is, how do they occur? Like, do they just suddenly occur and there's really no cause, they're acausal, or are they somehow tied in with our thoughts and our actions? And it's kind of interesting because in studying this, I've gone back to quantum physics, and quantum physics said, remember the old, you take a philosophy class in college, and philosophy 101, they say, hey, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, Is there
a sound?
Yes, yeah. Is there a sound? And, you know, you would argue for an hour over it, and there really wasn't an answer. Many would say, if a tree falls, no one hears it, there isn't a sound, and some would say there is. Well, under quantum physics today, they say if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, not only is there not a sound, but the forest disappears. In other words, the universe, as we know it, is totally interactive, and that we cause, in many cases, the things that occur on a daily basis, all the weird, bizarre incidents, we cause them by thought patterns, by interacting with the universe. So the omens that occur, signs, be they negative or positive, in many ways are things we are thinking about at that moment. That's when the omen occurs. For example...
go ahead.
I'm reaching for a drink. And as I'm reaching for the drink, I knock the bottle of sherry over, hits the floor and shatters into a million pieces. You know, what's the sign? What's the omen? What's the message? The message is, break the habit of alcohol or it's going to shatter my life.
Interesting.
It seems dramatic, but it's not really. It's just a message to me that's occurring.
Are omens also curses? Or is that totally separate, different?
It's really different in the sense that, you know, Hollywood puts it in that context sometimes that it's a curse, but a curse is something that we allow to occur to ourselves, and that if we are in harmony with life and on track and are awake and aware, we create our own omens.
Do you agree with that, Nicole?
Absolutely. And I was talking to a girlfriend yesterday, Lisa, in Austin, Texas. And she's like, Nicole, you know, she's about to go in for surgery Friday, okay? And she might be cancerous and this type of thing's going on. So she's very apprehensive, nervous, sure. You can imagine. And she's been healing every night, you best believe. But she said, you know, and I was wondering about this and thinking about the surgery. And then a black cat crossed my path. This is just yesterday, George. And she said, whoa, now what do you think? And then I was silent, and she said, but you know, Nicole, cats, I have a great relationship with cats, all cats. I see them as good luck and my friends and very loving situation. And I said, well, there's your direct message, Lisa. It's not about the thing and the label and definition that society puts upon a symbol. It's about what it means to you. That defines that symbol and interpretation.
Well, you know, there were some societies that have claimed that omens are good. There are some societies that claim they have been bad. Superstitions, some people categorize superstitions and omens as one and the same. Like this cat episode, you know, the people about, I'm not going to walk under a ladder. If I break a mirror, I get 7 years of bad luck. I think in a lot of cases, they create their omen.
Indeed, and I would agree. There's an old story, and it kind of illustrates the point that you're making. And it supposedly pertained to Alexander the Great. And at some point, he got stepped off of a boat, onto the beach. And as he did, he stumbled and fell face down in the sand. And everybody went, they all looked at him, and all the augurs and omen people and foretellers thought, oh my God, what a horrible omen. And he was laying there, he had his hands outstretched, his face on the beach. He said, I claim this land for mine. So he turned a bad omen into a good omen. I guess that's why they called him Alexander the Great.
Yeah, exactly.
So it kind of depends. There was an omen, a good example is Arnold Schwarzenegger, our governor here in California. Just before he had just announced he was going to run for governor, and he was in front of the media, all the cameras were there, and somebody in the crowd threw an egg, and it hit him on his suit, and it was on camera. The egg hit him on his suit and smeared all down the front, and it was an omen that the smear campaign would begin the next day. And sure enough, the next day in the press, the groping issues started and plagued him the whole campaign. So it was a negative omen for him.
Yet in some cases with omens, some people use them as predictors of the future.
Absolutely.
Well.
And it's actually known as augury in the Bible. And there were augurs of the times. Now, let's see here. Okay, here we go, George. You have an omen.
Okay.
And how do you know it's an omen or if it's just like something that happened? Should you pay attention to it, or should you let it ride? Well, it needs to be something that happens out here while we're awake. They're also known as waking dreams. And it's something happens that's significant, that catches your attention. That's how you know it's the universe speaking directly to you. Not so much like, oh, my shoe's untied. What does that mean? No, because we could be there all day long trying to figure out insignificant things. So first, that's important to mention something significant. Therein lies a message. And it's pretty interesting because Michael, about a month ago, when he's making his coffee here in the kitchen, and he's got the sugar, and you know, he loves that sugar in that coffee, I'll tell you. And all of a sudden, the sugar flies up in the air, all over the counter, all over the floor. And I yell in the other room because he's out here, you know, having a fit. And I'm like, what's the message, Michael Lynn?
That's what happens when you have a dream dude as a partner, okay?
Yeah.
And we were dealing with an issue, business partner, a negative situation at the time going on, a business associate, rather, not partner. And Michael said, well, that means I'm to drop the sweetness. And I said, Michael, it means you need to be loving. You need to be sweet about the sugar. So it's a very important point to make that omens, messages, can be interpreted one of two ways, positive or negative.
How do you interpret them?
Ah, great question, George. The bottom line, Michael was coming when he said, drop the sugar, like, let me rip and tear on this guy. He was coming from a place of fear and a place of control and power. My interpretation was, Michael Lynn, you need to be loving, okay? You need to just chill, be loving. I was coming from a position of love. Love supersedes everything. Karma, and we could go on, that's a whole nother show, really. But if you follow the law of love, and you come from a loving place, that's how you are able to determine what the message is.
Yeah, whenever we, and Nikki's got a good point, whenever we come from a place of fear, and I was real, at the time I was operating from fear, so I immediately made a call to my entertainment attorney and I said, go get him. And then I realized at some point I really was operating from fear and I needed to back off and take a hard look at the omen and come from at least a neutral place or a place of love. And the meaning comes in when we do that. When we stand back, we're not emotionally attached, we can figure out the omen almost instantly. And when we come from fear, anger, resentment, it's pretty hard. It contaminates the channel through which it comes.
You know, there was a story I was telling before you came on about my daughter and my grandchild, and we went out to lunch today. And as we were walking into the restaurant, you had to go through a little lounge to get in there. And there was a woman standing at the bar portion of this lounge holding two glasses of wine. I don't know why I said it, but I went up to her as we were going past her, and I said, "Was it that bad of a day?" And she had the greatest answer I've ever heard. She said, "No, it was a great day." And, you know, where I looked at it in terms of she's drinking her day away because something bad happened,
right.
She looked at it as, hey, this is a celebration. I'm having a great time. I got an insurance policy today to take care of some obligations for my kids' college tuition. You know, God forbid anything happens to me, I want to make sure they're covered with that. So my insurance guy comes over and gives me a policy today, and he says, "I've got good news and bad news." And the guy's got a great sense of humor. And I said, "Well, what's the good news?" He says, "I've got your policy here." And I said, "What's the bad news?" He says, "We're paying you tomorrow." So I guess when you look at it as omens, it is based on interpretation, isn't it? So how do you tune yourself, or how do you interpret it the right way?
Well, again, you know, we're going to go right back to that Hue technique, and only because it is the single best technique on the planet that we have found, George. You Hue because it makes you a clear vehicle, so you're open and receptive to the messages coming in. So one is to Hue. To just so you're humming, you know, that fine-tuned pitch we want going on. Followed by you check your motive. Are you coming from fear? Are you coming from love? And really, those two things will hold you in good stead in terms of interpreting your dream. The other thing, you keep a journal. That way you can keep track of things and see the outcome to see if you were correct. Because, again, it's about being proficient, and you begin to work with these things. But let me just say, you know, at first, you don't make life and death decisions based upon an omen. You need to be an investigator to gather your information, the mental. You do your homework. You interpret your nighttime dreams. You pay attention to omens. You go with your gut feeling. This is about gathering information from all these sources in order to make the best decision for you.
I agree with that. See, I look at omens not as good, not as bad, but as information. So you can make a decision and decide what you're going to do in your life.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they're meant for. They're guidance and they're guideposts, and they're really a roadmap for our life. If we look at the omens, I mean, just the fact that we wake up, I drive different places all over L.A., and on the way, I go 3 miles, that's 3 hours. And I may see a dozen omens in license plates, signs, billboards, turning on the radio, the DJ says, gives me an answer to something. And once we become aware of them, the fact that we're aware, they start presenting themselves to us. That's the first step. And I think he had a good point. If you write them down, and I do, I keep a journal of omens, and as I look back over the week, guess what? Dot to dot, it all gets connected, and I can see the thread of the fabric running through my life that makes sense. It's guiding me in a certain direction. That's what they're for.
Do you find also with omens that people can send other people omens? Does that happen? You know, like we were talking about, those dreams and those, you know, people getting into your dream state, can people also conjure up omens for people?
Well, logically, I think you'd have to come to the conclusion that the answer would be yes, because if omens indeed are waking dreams, which are what, you know, that's my definition of,
sure.
of an omen.
And I like that.
And, you know, if people can get into your nighttime dreams, they can get into your daily dreams also. And that's where, once again, you need to figure out, if you're getting negative omens, you need to figure out what source they're coming from and distance yourself from the source, and certainly protect yourself. There's a lot of protection techniques.
I've sometimes wondered if dreams and omens are also, you know, part of the angelic realm, where, Maybe your guardian angel is sending you a message that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, with trust yourself, because there's some, you know, different faiths. There's the atheist, agnostic, Christian, Buddhist, this type of thing. Michael and I call it spirit, soul, higher self, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna. Michael and I, we don't really care what you call it. As long as you know that you're receiving guidance from a source, and again, could be your higher self, then you've got to go with that, and you know that it's in your best interest. Like you said, the guardian angels and this type of thing, and you pay attention, and you follow it. And how you know if it's coming from the positive or the negative is simply by the message itself. If it's something that's telling you something, you know, to do something negative, you know that's not coming from the higher realms.
That could be coming from a negative source. If something's
sure.
telling you, hey, you got a cash flow problem, make a large withdrawal on your 45 automatic at the bank, that you know that's coming from a negative source. If the message is a positive message, and also the way it feels, you ever get that feeling right in the solar plexus or in the heart area or the throat, there's a vibration that comes in with it, and you know by the vibration whether it's so or not. You can kind of tell. Have you ever, trust yourself technique, you meet someone, and everybody says, boy, that guy's the best thing since sliced bread. And somehow it doesn't feel right to you, like, not what he appears to be. A month later, you find out you were right. He was not what he appeared to be because it didn't feel right, although
right.
outwardly you couldn't tell.
That's true. You have to learn how to read signs, maybe, too.
Exactly, how to read signs. And it's reading. That's what you do.
With what you two do, do you consult people? Do you? How do you help them?
Yes, absolutely. And you know what's really cool about trust yourself techniques? They're quick. They cut right to the chase. Right to the chase. Pure truth coming in. We saw a lady once, and she had 10 years of therapy. Oh my! And she had a session with the Dream Dudes, and she had a breakthrough in one session. And we didn't need to see her again. And she went on her way. 10 years of therapy versus one session of trust yourself techniques. And we're just the messengers. It's not that the Dream Dudes are all that, although we are schooled and have studied much, but we dispense this information to empower the people, George, because it's all about trusting yourself.
And all we did was ask her questions, and she already knew the answers were contained within her. And it's like you go to a good psychiatrist. Say you're paying $300 an hour. Any good psychiatrist worth their salt is going to ask you 10 minutes into it, do you remember your dreams? Why don't you tell me about them?
Mm-hmm.
And, Carl Jung, who took dreams to a new level after Freud, he spent half his life dealing with dreams. And that's really, it cuts right to the chase. It gives us a snapshot of what's going on inside of our subconscious that we can't access.
Yeah, because you know when you had like a normal session, therapeutic session, you've got the mental going on. And these other techniques surpass that, because when you've got the mental, you've got fear and you've got ego. And that those two things get in the way.
You know what's incredible too is, Michael, you're a sociologist.
Mm-hmm.
You are, Nicole, a licensed drug and alcohol therapist. Have those careers helped you with what you're doing here tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, it's what got me into dreams originally, studying ancient societies, cultures, and I ran across a lot of literature as I did some additional reading about how they would teach their children early on. They'd all sit at the breakfast table, talk about dreams, and they had someone who was the dreamer for that particular society, and people would take all their dreams to them. So it's something that was prevalent in ancient times, and every single sacred book that I ran across, whether it was the Bible, the Torah, the Talmud, the Quran, made no difference. They all said that dreams were important and that's where we got our guidance and the messages from, whatever you want to call it, spirit, God, higher self.
Stay with us. Let's talk about intuition when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you for continuing to sponsor children with Children International as we are approaching our goal of 300. We're about a third of the way there, so let's keep up the push. Those of you who have not participated and you can afford $18 a month for a one-year commitment, and I say that if you can afford it. I don't want you to string yourself out here, but do the best you can. The money will be used for food, clothing, health care, and education for a child who, in many cases, they don't have electricity, running water. They don't even have toilet facilities. It is absolutely incredible. $18 a month, one-year commitment. Go to the coasttocoastam.com website. On the left-hand side, you'll see a yellow banner. You can click that. That's Children International. There's a direct link there. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-301-9194. That's 1-800-301-1994 for Children International. Michael and Nicole, then, what does it mean when someone says, I'm intuitive, I've got the gift, I know what I'm doing here? What does that all mean?
Our response is, we all are, and fabulous, and let's hone it, let's become proficient. When someone is intuitive, that means they tap into that universal database of information, and they are able to be receptive and pick up the messages coming in.
Simple as that.
Yeah, you know, people will say, well, he's so psychic, and I don't know. And again, it's the same thing as having access to information. And we all have those innate intuitive abilities. Just like, you know, John Edwards with crossing over.
Yes.
He does have that ability. But we all do. When we sleep, we dream. When we dream, we leave the body. And we travel. And we actually have the ability to connect with deceased loved ones in the dream state. And sometimes they give us guidance and protection and send love and messages.
How do we get this gift?
Same way
as dreams, same way as omens, the ability to do that?
Yeah, and it's something we all have, and we're able to, as we practice a little bit more. If you sit down and talk to anyone, doesn't matter who it is, we get a lot of clients come to us, and they say, oh, I don't have any of those abilities, and my aunt does, or my mother, my dad does. But the truth is, as we spend some time with them, they go, well, I had this intuition, and I had this intuition, and I had, and I go, well, you've got the gift then. And they go, oh, wow, I never thought about it like that. And it's a database. It's like, that's an easy way of seeing it. We're all little PCs, and we can tap into it. Maybe the best example, Star Wars, Luke Skywalker. I think it was the first installment. He has to take out the Death Star, and he's going down there, and his computer goes down. It won't keep up with it, won't give him the data he needs to take the one shot. He's only got one shot. And the voice, that inner intuitive nudge, says, turn the computer off, Luke. And when he takes the shot, it's when it feels right. Right now, he takes the shot, takes out the Death Star. That's true intuition. It's trust yourself. In other words, we already know the answer. It's already within us. And all we need to do is access it. And how do we access it? Through dreams, omens, and intuitive techniques. And it comes through practice when we get a nudge to not get on the freeway that day. Maybe I've been driving and suddenly I'll get a feeling, don't get on the freeway. And you know, whenever I ignore that nudge, I'll get on the freeway, looks good, and I'll think, it was just my imagination. 2 miles down the way, it's in gridlock, and I spend an hour sitting there. If I'd have taken the surface streets, would have been fine. And I go, why didn't I trust myself?
Absolutely. And see, part of that, though, is knowing when to react to the incredibly intuitive state that a lot of people find themselves in.
Exactly. And it happens. Some of the questions we get, one of the most cutting edge questions is, how can I tell the difference between intuition and erroneous thought or fear coming in? And the answer is, intuition is really a feeling. It comes in just before the thought. It's the very first thing that comes in. When the thought comes in, the thought can be off the money. It can lead us astray. It's the thing that comes in, that gut feeling that comes into the solar plexus or heart area just before that thought comes in.
Well, there's no doubt about that gut feeling, but it's also, I'm convinced, it's hereditary. I mean, if your parents have it, chances are you're going to have it.
Probably so. And you're going to have more of an ability than other people. And the people that really did a survey many years ago, when we first put together the Dream Dudes and began to write the book, Trust Yourself, and I went around to CEOs and successful people in all areas, actually, and I said, okay, the chips are down on the table. You've done your homework, and here's a big decision. Maybe it has to do with make or break the whole company. How do you make that final decision? Because it's all on you. You've got no more data. You don't know anything, and it's a coin toss. It could go either way. Every single one of them said, I go with my gut feeling. Come on, Mike. They said, I go with my gut feeling every single time. And it's something that has to do with people who are leaders, people who are winners. When it comes right down to it, they go with the gut feeling. They put everything aside, and they've gotten good at it because they rely on it, and they know that it always holds them in good stead.
And that increases your confidence the more you work with something and become proficient at it. And all the techniques in Trust Yourself, they're going to lead you down that journey, down that path to become proficient. We have a whole chapter in the book, and the title is Any Doubt, No Doubt. You have any doubt at all, there's your answer. Any doubt, no doubt.
What about making mistakes, though? Is that normal?
Oh,
and can you learn from that?
George, it is absolutely essential. The only way we know the truth and how to trust yourself is by making the wrong choices, by making the wrong decisions. Then we can recognize and identify where we went wrong with that. Well, that was fear, and I thought it was my gut. Well, ego got in the way on that one. And so you can really track it if you bother to keep a journal and your symbols and your thoughts and dates. And it increases your confidence along the way.
And what I've found also is the more I do it, the more I rely on it, the more I practice it, the more input I'll get from what we call the inner. And that's that little voice, that intuitive
right.
gut feeling. It starts to open up, and I start to feel, you ever felt in the zone, like some days you just, everything you touch turns to gold. You can't go wrong. Everything
yes.
goes right.
You're on a streak. It's
yes.
whether you're playing blackjack or anything,
exactly.
you know you can't go wrong.
You just know it. And I've even been at casinos, and I can tell this hand is a winner. And I don't even have to look at it. And sure enough, it's just I could feel it coming, the vibration, the energy, and it opens up. Well, the more we work with it, the more that feeling of being in the zone occurs.
I have told friends that if they're going to a casino, to go in there with the attitude that they don't have to win, they're just going to have some fun, because if you go in there tense and uptight, you're going to lose your shirt.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, the channels that comes in on, the intuitive nudge, it's a vibration, a frequency, it's quantum physics. The channel that it actually comes in on closes down based on the amount of fear, based on the amount of push that we put in there. So if we're trying to win, if we have to win, especially if we take something like the rent money and go to a casino or a horse track, you can bet that we're going to lose.
You're going to lose it.
If we go and we're relaxed, just relaxed, open to whatever happens, the probability is much, much higher of being in tune and doing well.
I will go to a casino maybe 3 times a year in St. Louis, and I'll go to Vegas maybe 2x a year with friends to have some fun. And when I was leaving, this is an incredible story, when I was leaving St. Louis to go to Los Angeles, when I was leaving my local station to do Coast to Coast full time, my producer and screener in St. Louis was a fellow by the name of Howard, great guy. And Howard's dream was to play music. And when he was a little kid, he was bitten by a mosquito that had, and he got encephalitis.
Uh-huh.
So he's got the use of his left hand, but partially. It's kind of deformed a little bit. And I remember the first day that we hired him to answer phones. I mean, I went, oh my God, how's he going to do this? He's basically got the use of one hand. He's got to type, answer the phone, and send me messages at the same time. And he did it. And he's a great, hardworking guy. Anyway, I'm leaving, and I asked him. I said, so what do you want as a goodbye gift? And he said, God, I want a guitar. I want this guitar, this electric guitar. And he was working part-time at a music store, so he was able to get a discount on it. And I said, okay, how much is it? And he told me how much it was. And I said, this is so cool. I'll get it for him as a gift. What a great little thing to do. And I felt good about it. On the day I was going in to pick it up at the music store, I have no idea why this happened to me, but something said, George, you're not doing anything today. You're bored. Pop by the old casino and have some fun. So I had the money. I had his money for his guitar on me. And I figured, okay, I'll play a little bit, and maybe I'll win a couple $100 and I'll be on my way. Well, about a half hour later, Michael and Nicole, I have given the casino his guitar money. It's gone. And he's waiting at the station for his present, and I got to pick it up. And, you know, the place closes in a half hour, and I am just fit to be tied. And you know, I was doing okay in St. Louis, and not as well as I'm doing on the network show. So, you know, I had to balance my budget and everything else like everybody else does. I've got $20 on me at the time. And I said, you know what? I don't need to win, but I got to do this for Howard. And did I parlay that 20 in about 10 minutes to get his guitar money back? And that's all I wanted back. I got it back, and I left. And I go zooming down to the music place. I called them ahead of time to make sure they wouldn't shut their doors. And I got in there, I got his guitar, and I brought it to him, and I gave it to him. And it wasn't until about a week later that I told him the story of what had happened. But that's a perfect example of how sometimes doing stupid things, not following your instincts in your gut or your intuitiveness could really screw you up. And for some reason, you know, the victor gods decided to let me win because it was for old Howard, not me.
You got it. You know, the two key elements there, when you initially went to the casino, there were different motives. But when you wanted to just get that money for the guitar, just put that money back in your pocket, George, that came from pure love. And you were rewarded right there. Boom, 10 minutes. And therein lies the difference in the gifts we receive from the universe.
If we do it out of love, of self-sacrifice for somebody else, and with no thought of return for ourselves, in many cases, the channel's opened up, and there's lines of affinity there that open up. Like attracts like, in other words. If you're vibrating love, you're going to draw that to you.
Yeah, I've got two good stories for you.
Okay.
One is a client, and she was a little casino monster. Oh, boy, she loves a casino. Well, she was so tapped into that casino that she actually had a dream, and she was planning to go to the casino in the first place. Like tomorrow I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to the casino, da-da-da.
It was the plan.
She had a dream that night that she was actually putting ice cubes into the slot machine. Ice cubes.
Cold. Cold.
You got it. You're going to be cold, girl. Stay out of that casino. So she received her guidance that way. Now let's combine intuition and dreams. A friend of mine, Lynn, she was concerned that her son was doing cocaine. She had an intuitive hunch, a feeling. You know, this is the parents and the kids, you know.
And probably saw the way he was acting.
Yeah, she was gathering her information. It doesn't feel right, you know, and then some other signs. And I said, well, Lynn, you know, I don't know what to tell you here. I said, I'll give you this. I want you to, here's your homework. This is your assignment. Go to sleep. You do three hues. You ask the question. And this is what's so cool about dreams, George. We can ask a question when we go to sleep. And we will receive the answer by the time we wake up. We'll have the answer. Is my boyfriend cheating? Are my kids doing drugs? This type of thing. Three hues, ask the question with a sincere heart of wanting to know the truth. Then she had the dream. Her son, cocaine, police. Now, the good ending to the story, 3 days later, on a Friday, her son actually came to her and said, "Hey, Mom, I've got a problem, and I need some help." So first off, she had her intuitive hunch. She confirmed it, validated it with a dream. And then the beauty was, here comes the son really wanting some help.
That doesn't happen all the time.
No, it sure doesn't.
It was a good ending. Do some of these end kind of tragically or not the way we wanted?
Yeah, here we go. Case in point. We had another client. She was concerned the husband was cheating on her. And, of course, we provide the trust yourself techniques. And she had the dream. She had a dream of her husband and her best friend in bed together. Woo, that's a scary dream. She woke up very concerned. She had the courage, George, to confront and ask each of them. And they, in turn, had the courage to be honest. And they told her, yes, we are having this affair. And so, I mean, that kind of news, you know, is pretty heart-wrenching.
Well, there's a lesson here that if you're going to have an affair, never have one on someone who's intuitive.
Exactly.
I bet you two are so tuned in with each other, you couldn't even do anything bad.
You got it.
You better believe it. And when you get into being on the same vibrational pattern, you can't get away with anything, George. Oh, my God.
No, you can't. Do you find that you two sometimes don't even have to talk with each other? You just think it?
That is the case. You better believe it. I will, you know, the old story of completing someone's sentence. But in many cases, Nikki and I will be thinking the same thing all day long. And it's a vibration. It goes back to the law of affinity. The more in harmony you get with someone, the more you're going to pick up on the same vibrations.
Of everything that you two have done in the field of dreams, omens, intuition, is there one thing that stands out for both of you that you still shake your heads going, man, this stuff is incredible. It works.
Probably for me, the omens, the waking dreams on a daily basis sometimes get so prolific. There are so many of them occurring, giving me guidance that I am in awe. I can't believe it. I'll see a license plate. Somebody will say something that gives me the answer to something that I'm thinking about, and I can see the thread of synchronicity running through everything. And, you know, for me, that's what it is. Other people, I think with Nikki.
No, you're right on the money. It's the same. And it's a spiritual law, George, and the spiritual law is entitled Connecting the Diamonds. And there's a fabulous book, and it's entitled The Spiritual Laws of Life. And it's an Ekinkar book. Not sure if you're familiar with Ekinkar, but The Spiritual Laws of Life. And Connecting the Diamonds is one of our favorites.
Well, let me tell you something. You two are onto something. We're going to open up the phone lines. What type of calls do you want to get from people?
Well, whatever if they have questions on dreams, omens, intuition, things that have events that have happened in their life, intuitive.
You try to interpret what.
Sure.
You know, and let's talk in generalities for people because you know if someone dreams that they're falling, there could be a million of us that have that dream. So maybe you can help us all out at the same time. Stay with us, Michael and Nicole Sebastian. Will be back. Let's flip the switch. And we'll open the phone lines now on Coast to Coast AM.